It's our honor to be here and to be back. And so we're very thankful for that. I think my mic is on, is it? Yes. And so we want to thank you for the honor of being here. You can be seated this morning. I want to say to you, if you're visiting here at Bethel today, I want to make sure that you come back. I may not know if you're a visitor or not, so I'll just mention this. If you are a visitor and you want to come back and hear Pastor preach, he'll be a blessing to you. And we are glad, they are glad, I'm glad that you're here today. Thank you for that, for being here. Want to share a blessing. If you're not able to stay this afternoon, I do hope that you will stay for the afternoon, see a video about Croatia, and we're going to try to sing for you. One of the things that I did want to share with you, last Sunday morning, preacher, maybe you can add this to your prayer list. We had a lady by the name of Nisreen. It's N-I-S-R-E-E-N. Nisreen. Nisreen is from Morocco, and she came with her husband, who is from Germany, and they came and visited New Life. And Nisreen comes from Morocco. She's from a Muslim family. When her and her husband married, they told her parents that they wanted to raise their first daughter. They wanted to raise her in a Christian home. And so that brought a lot of air from her family. But it wasn't until last Sunday that Nisreen became a Christian. Amen. And so she got saved last Sunday morning at Novi Život Neovisna Baptistička Crkva in Zagreb, Croatia. So you can practice that, and you can't leave today until you can say Novi Život Neovisna Baptistička Crkva. It's either that or put a big offering in the offering plate, right? But I praise the Lord for what God's done in Zagreb, and thankful that He's counted me worthy to be called into the ministry, and what a privilege it is just to serve the Lord. And it's hard to believe it was 7 years ago, the last time that we were here with you, but it's a privilege to be back today. I want to mention also, I talked with Pastor on the phone a few weeks ago, and I asked him, I said, we're coming as missionaries, and do you have anything in particular? Do you want a missions message? And he told me more than once that day on the phone, he said, preacher, you just follow the Lord and preach what God has for you. I had no idea what he's been preaching, what the church would need, but just praying and asking the Lord, and confident in God's leadership today. So I trust it'll be a blessing to you. And not knowing that he's been in the book of the Revelation, that's where we're going to go again today. And so if you would please, the book of the Revelation, I'll let you find that. And I'll direct you to the chapter and verse in just a few moments. I'm a Texas boy by birth, and I guess that's kind of influenced the title of the message this morning, which I'll introduce in just a few minutes as well. But I want to start with a question this morning. When you hear the phrase middle of the road, what do you think of? Now, in politics, we might think of middle of the road as being someone that's neither liberal nor conservative. They're kind of middle of the road. We think about religion. We say middle of the road means someone that's, they're not really a radical Christian. They're not passive either, middle of the road. Maybe if you're here and you've got a neck brace or a back brace, both arms and legs in a cast, your jaw is wired shut, you might say middle of the road is where you met Mack Truck. I'm glad I don't see anyone like that this morning. But to other people, middle of the road means halfway. I'll meet you in the middle of the road. It's like saying, I'm going to meet you halfway. It's a phrase that would be similar to what we would say as sitting on the fence. You ever heard that phrase, sitting on the fence? It portrays something that's not sure really enough of itself to go one way or go the other way, so they're kind of sitting on the fence. It's like the politician that wants people to be with him, so he keeps in the middle of the road, he keeps his party there, thinking that that would be the safest place to go. But can I tell you, the middle of the road is not a safe place for a child of God to be. Amen. It's not the right place for a child of God to be. So Revelation chapter number 3 this morning in your scripture, Revelation chapter number 3. I give you the title of this message this morning. Might, again, kind of goes back to my Texas roots. And I'll try to come back to the title maybe a little bit later as well. There's nothing in the middle of the road but yellow stripes and dead armadillos. There's nothing in the middle of the road but yellow stripes and dead armadillos. I said I would come back to it, but I'll just mention it here. Preacher, why would you say there's nothing in the middle of the road except for yellow stripes and dead armadillos? Well, I'm a Texas boy. I saw dead armadillos all the time. They're in the middle of the road. You see, you get in the middle of the road, it's where you get ran over. Well, what about the yellow stripes? That ought to be pretty plain. What do you mean? You're a coward. You don't have the courage to take a stand or make a decision. That's not the safe place for the child of God. We're to be people of faith, yes or no? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. The middle of the road is a dangerous place for the child of God. It's not a place where anyone wants to be or should be. We might want to be there, but we should not be there. And I know that you just were seated a moment ago, but if you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll read our three verses, and then you can be seated again. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14. There's nothing in the middle of the road but yellow stripes and dead armadillos. And unto the angel, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Notice the Amen, the final authority, the faithful and true witness. God does not lie, but He knows truth, and He knows and proclaims truth. He is the faithful and true witness. And He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold or hot, nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's the description of a middle of the road believer. To be lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. Father, I pray in our next few moments together that you might give grace to the hearer. And help me, Lord, to have your grace as well. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me and in spite of me. God, I ask for your cleansing. I ask for the feeling of your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, that I might be removed from the picture. Let me be hidden behind the cross. Lord, let people see Christ who's lifted up and exalted today. And I pray, Lord, that we might get out of the middle of the road, make a decision, and choose this day whom we will serve. Lord, I pray that we'd have the courage that we need to take, Lord, to get to the place where you would have us to be in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. I pray that you'd speak to us. Lord, may we be sensitive to hear and smart enough to obey as you speak. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. See, a lot of people want to be a middle-of-the-road Christian because that's where comfort is. That middle-of-the-road Christian is someone who's not extreme about their relationship with Jesus Christ, but they're not completely without vigor in their Christianity either. They're just kind of in the middle of the road. You see, they take the middle of the road because in the middle of the road, they don't have to give their all to God. In the middle of the road, they don't have to be committed and they don't have to be as faithful as they know they ought to be. They take the middle of the road because they're not totally unresponsive to the things of God, but neither are they really excited about the things of God either. Let me repeat that. They're not totally unresponsive to the things of God, but they're not really that excited about the things of God either. The church of Laodiceans, that church was that way, and Jesus told them that they were neither hot nor cold. In spiritual things, they were cold comparatively, but not as cold as the outside world. You see, there's where we come into danger is when we begin comparing ourselves with someone else. Because God is the one that gives us the rule or the guide that we should be measured by. You know, you don't go in and say, well, I need 25 feet of wire. And you want them to measure, you want to make sure that you get all that you pay for, yes or no? You want to make sure that the measurement is accurate and true. They were not acting hostile toward Christ. but they weren't exactly being zealous for him either. God would rather that men would oppose him than to be formal, to be apathetic professors of him. I want you to think about this. The opposite for courage is not cowardice. The opposite of courage is not cowardice. It's conformity. It's conformity. Maybe let me put it a more simple way. Even a dead fish can go with the flow. Even a dead fish can go with the flow. Now the people of Laodicea, they took the middle of the road approach in their living for God. They had an apathetic attitude when it came to standing up for Christ. Jesus told them that they were lukewarm. They were showing or having little enthusiasm or interest or support or conviction. You know, I was a pastor for many years before God called us to the mission field. We traveled all across the United States and been in churches in other parts of the world as well. And I just want you to understand something this morning, church. I'm not preaching at you. I want to preach to you the sense that there are churches all around America and all around the world that are full of people like that today. Chances are that there's a good percentage of the people that are right here at Bethel that are like that today. Don't look at this, not time you want to look at your neighbor. But chances are there's some people that are like that here today. You're not you. If you're honest with yourself and honest before God, you know that you're not on fire for the things of God. You know that in your heart of hearts that there's something that is lacking in your spiritual life, and your relationship with God is not what it needs to be. You say, well, isn't that true of all of us? I understand that it's true of all of us. We all should have a desire to become more like Him every single day. But let's be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest before God. Where is your spiritual walk with Him? What is your condition? Let me kind of put it this way. How many of you drink coffee? Hallelujah, somebody said. This might be the first time word hallelujah has been said in this church. I don't know, it's talking about coffee. Hallelujah. How many of you like it when the waitress brings you a cup of lukewarm coffee? Well, why not? You see, when you order coffee, you expect it to be hot. How many of you expect it to be hot? When you come to Croatia, it doesn't work that way. It's almost always lukewarm. You say, well, I want what I pay for. Excuse me. I want what I paid for. I bought a hot cup of coffee. I expect a hot cup of coffee. How many of you ever returned a cup of coffee? Because you didn't get what you paid for. It's not what you expected to receive in return. Preacher, I'm having a hard time following you. Listen, if you're born again, you've been bought with a price. Amen. God wants you. He wants us to be on fire for Him, to have a zeal and to have a courage, to be used of Him and to have a love for Him as much as He loves us. God help us not to be lukewarm, middle-of-the-road believers. If you're here this morning, you're honest with yourself and honest before God, and that's where you find yourself to be, let me just challenge you, get out of the middle of the road. Get out of the middle of the road. Churches are full of people that come to church once in a while but aren't enthusiastic about it. Come to worship but have little conviction. Come to church but aren't interested in the church's programs or projects. Come to church but don't give anything to support the church in finances or give anything in any other way. Middle of the road believers. Not really in, but well, I'm not really out either, preacher, so it's not that bad. And I'm not suggesting to you this morning that if you're not in, you ought to get out. That's not what I'm suggesting. Why don't you just make a decision to get in? Make a decision to get out of the middle of the road. Make a decision to grow in your faith and grow in your relationship with God. Jesus told the church at Laodicea that because they were not hot or cold, he would spew them out of their mouth. I mean, a lukewarm Christian is offensive to God. That's the idea, to spew them out of their mouth. I want to give you a couple of maybe just kind of practical examples this morning. And I don't know whether to ask for a show of hands or not, but we'll just kind of, we'll come to that, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Let's take for an example, someone who draws welfare money from the government but is able to work as much as you and I. They draw their check, they get all the benefits, all their doctor bills are paid, their hospital bills are paid, they get free groceries and they're freeloaders and they lay back and enjoy it. Let me just ask you a question. How many of you find that offensive? Amen. Don't raise your hand, but if that makes you sick or makes you angry. Well, what about another example? Let's say that you're working on your job and you work hard every day. You give your full 8 hours. You deserve every dollar that you make. But there's another old boy or another old gal that you're employed with, and they goof off. They shun their work. They look for every opportunity not to work or to try to find an excuse to go do something else. And they're very passive about doing their job, and they sit down most of the day. They're on their telephone and they watch you work. But at the end of the week, they get their paycheck. As a matter of fact, their paycheck might even be bigger than your paycheck. And how many of you would be offended by that? Well, so is God. When we're not hot or cold. When we're lukewarm. When it comes to us serving God, He wants us to have a fervor and a vigor and to be eager and enthusiastic and passionate and zealous and a whole other list of adjectives: fanatical, impassioned, burning, intense. But too many are sitting on the fence in our churches today. Too many are taking that middle of the road in their relationship with God. They don't want to be completely out of church because their conscience would bother them. They don't want to quit going to services once in a while because if I do, then what's so-and-so going to think? Well, why don't you be more concerned about what God thinks? You can come to every single service and still be offensive to God. So why don't people want to become active? Well, that takes effort, preacher. It might take a little bit too much time or too much effort. Well, maybe it would cost them something. They might have to turn loose of their habits or their little sins or turn loose of things that they don't want to turn loose of. And they want to take that middle of the road approach. They don't want to be enthusiastic because that would mean commitment. I find it so interesting that we can commit to a cell phone bill and commit to cable, and you can commit to all kinds of other things, but you can't commit to be here every night of the missions conference. You can't commit to be on fire for God. You can't commit to be impassioned for the things of God. We can be committed to all kinds of carnal things, but what about being committed to Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us?
Amen. Well, I don't want to be fanatical about it. People will think I'm crazy.
Would you rather them think you're crazy or for them to die and go to hell because you weren't fanatical enough to tell them about it? Come on now. It's where the rubber hits the road, folks. So we take the middle of the road. Again, you're just going to have to believe me and you're going to have to believe him. I'm just preaching the message that God put on my heart this morning. Pastor and I didn't talk about anything. I don't know where you're at. I just know that it does us good. You see, unless we stoke the fire and put more wood on the fire, it's going to die. And it burns out. That's just a fact of life, isn't it? And God, we all need for our hearts and our spiritual fire to be stirred and God to move in us. Why? Because God hates apathy. He hates lethargy. He hates indifference. He didn't call us to sit down and do nothing. He called us to serve Him. God has truly saved you. He's brought you up out of a miry pit of sin. He deserves for you and I to be grateful enough to work fervently for Him. Well, I just don't know if I like your tone, Brother Lowry. I don't think that I like the message this morning. Well, that's okay. I'll be gone next week. The truth of the matter is, if you don't like the message and it's making you mad, it's because you're in the middle of the road and you need to get out. It's not original with me, and I can't credit it to anyone because I don't know the source, but I found this phrase and I really like it. There's absolutely no excuse whatsoever for an able-bodied Christian to sit on the seat of do nothing. I'll read that one more time. There's absolutely no excuse whatsoever for an able-bodied Christian to sit on the seat of do nothing. Now, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to make a decision to become enthused and to serve God with a heart of love and to be impassioned about what God is impassioned about. To do our best to honor Him in and through our life. This image, if you look back in chapter number 16, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. Now that's a pretty graphic illustration, isn't it? It's a pretty intense image. And it denotes a very deep disgust, a loathing at the indifference that prevailed in the church at Laodicea. And it just gives us the idea, and forgive me for being rude, but it just makes God sick and He wants to vomit. Right. So many churches today are not alive, but I think if we were to take a survey, we'd all say, I don't want to go to a dead church, yes or no? And this is not an accusation of your church at all. I've been in a lot of churches that there was more life outside the church than there was inside the church. A church that cannot reach its full potential with a lukewarm congregation. Think about the New Testament. Think about the church on the day of Pentecost. I would not describe them as being a lukewarm church, would you? They were fervent, they were zealous, they were impassioned, they were intense, they were on fire. And the church went forward, and so much so that the Scripture says that there were added unto them daily such as should be saved. There wasn't anything that was hindering the work of God moving forward. I want us to kind of take this phrase and go in a little bit of a different direction as well, that phrase, the middle of the road. You see, because the middle of the road can also mean, well, I'm just going to take the neutral approach. That's what it means, right? But let's go another step when it comes to the child of God, when it comes to the believer. Sometimes it's not just about the middle of the road in my relationship with God, and I'm not hot, or I'm not on fire for God. I'm not cold either. I'm kind of in the middle of the road. And I realize this morning that we're not always on fire for God. You may not always be on fire for God, yes or no. Again, the fire is going to wane at times. It needs to be built up. It needs to be primed. It needs to be stoked. I get that. But let's take another approach or another thought with this phrase, the middle of the road. Not just about your relationship and where you're at in your walk with Christ, being on fire for God that way. But what about when it comes to biblical convictions? What about when it comes to biblical standards? What about when it comes to biblical positions of Scripture? Say, well, what do you mean, Brother Lowry? Okay, we're in a society today where the society doesn't want to just be in the middle of the road, they're going to the left. Yes or no? You want to know why society as a whole has gone to the left? Because too many Christians are in the middle of the road when it comes to biblical positions. Well, what do you mean, biblical positions? Marriage is to be between one man and one woman for life. That's Bible, my friend. One man, one woman, for one lifetime. But too many Christians take the position of middle of the road because, well, I don't want to be offensive to someone else. Listen, God created Adam and Eve. He did not make Adam and Steve. And if you're too ashamed or too afraid to take a position, the middle of the road position when it comes to the LBGTXYZ community, you know what? I'm not trying to be unkind or hateful this morning, but that position makes me sick. Listen, we're to love everyone. But we love them, but we're to speak the truth in grace. Yes or no? But speak the truth. Don't be afraid to just let them. You know why? You know why the minority, the very small minority of the LGBTQXYZ community, you know why they're so strong in our society today? Is because we have done this. They're loud and they verbalize their position because, and they're heard because we have become quiet. Middle of the road about biblical standards. Middle of the road about biblical positions. Middle of the road about biblical aspects of life, like marriage, like abortion, like alcohol. Come on, it's really quiet. Well, I'm afraid I'll offend someone. I'm not suggesting that we should be offensive by anything that we say or do. But I can say this. The Word of God is going to offend you if you're wrong. We're going to take that neutral approach to the standards of God. There's no middle of the road when it comes to biblical standards and biblical principles. You're either going to stand up for the Word of God or you're going to sit down and let people run all over it. And I know this pastor, I know this preacher, he's not going to be one that's going to sit down and let people run all over it. But you see, there's one of him. What about the rest of you? What about the rest of us? When that group of fellas get together, or the group gets together by the water cooler at work, and they tell the dirty jokes and the dirty stories, and they talk about getting drunk and cheating on their wives, do you stand there and listen and laugh? Middle of the road. I don't even know if I'd call you middle of the road. I can call you this. You know what you find in the middle of the road? Nothing there but yellow stripes and dead armadillos. And you can take that however you want to, my friend. Yellow stripes. You don't speak up and say anything because you're a coward. Because you're afraid. Too many people take the middle of the road when it concerns the issues that face us in our world today. Don't want to be called fanatical. Don't want to be so extreme as to, so we end up taking the middle of the road. It's the road of little commitment, little liability, and little responsibility. And yet I think about the old hymn that was written by George Dufeld. You know it. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. The last verse. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. Amen. So where are you at today? Are you in the middle of the road in your relationship with Christ? Are you a middle of the road believer? Are you a, I don't even like the phrase middle of the road Christian. Because the word Christian means to be Christ-like or to be a little Christ. If you're middle of the road, then you're not like Christ. Are you going to be one of those that has little interest in the things of God? Are you going to be one of those that gives little or no support to the church? But you don't have to be lukewarm. Amen. You can repent. You can ask God to change you. You can tell God you're sorry and repent and ask God for strength and help. I want to ask you to stand this morning. We're going to read one last verse of Scripture. Very familiar passage in the book of Joshua and chapter number 24. Joshua in chapter number 24. In verse number 15. Joshua in chapter 24. In verse number 15. Let's begin in verse 14, please. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I emphasize that phrase because it's a call to action. You must choose for yourself. Choose ye. You make a choice. You make a decision. Well, I don't know that I want to decide that. No. Choose you this day. That's now. Making a decision today whom you will serve. Whom ye will serve. You see, sometimes we're guilty of looking at someone else and saying, well, what are they going to do? No. It's not about them. It's about you. What are you going to do? Well, what about my parents? No. What are you going to do? But what about my... No. What are you going to do? Choose ye this day. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Make a choice. And as James said, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. So where do you find yourself? Only two things in the middle of the road. Yellow stripes and dead armadillos. It's time to get out of the middle of the road. Let's pray together, please.